Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have a very fine friend of the show, Mr. Tom Glatt from Glatt Consulting. Tom, how are you, sir? Good to see you again.
I'm good. Good to see you, Mike. Hope you're doing well.
I am. Welcome to summertime. It's almost summer and the sun is finally out here in San Diego. We've been doing our best Seattle mimicry for the last couple of months, but now the sun is out and so we're really happy about that. So yeah,
I think the last time I talked to you, we had sunny weather and warm and you were cloudy and cold, and now we're not exactly cold, but it's cloudy and rainy and we have the California sun. So equilibrium has been restored, right?
Exactly. The balance is back for sure. So yeah, but we've had a lot of rain. It was actually just raining a few days ago. So we're really happy about that out here in Southern California. But hey, let's leave all that stuff to the Weather Channel Let's talk some financial credit union industry health score, if you will. And you do this every quarter. And I'm going to ask you the same question that I ask you every time to start out, Tom. Give us a quick refresher on the credit union industry health score, because I think this is such a powerful and very useful tool in the industry. And it's right there under our noses each and every quarter.
Sure. In brief, we score 17 different common metrics that credit unions typically track. 17 that we chose about a decade ago based on a correlation study that showed us that these particular ratios were indicative of credit union health and performance. So we score those 17 ratios on a 10-point scale, with 0 being kind of mostly dead and 10 being exceptionally alive in most cases. And then we roll those up to scores for every individual credit union, and then we aggregate those for the industry to give us a perspective on how the industry as a whole is moving. And that's what we're here to talk about.
All right. Yeah. I like the exceptionally alive scores. We all like those for sure. So share with us the latest findings right out of the bat here. What are some of the latest findings? Because the last few quarters have been a bit underwhelming, if you will. So do we have any new news here, Tom?
Yeah, we do. So when you and I talked about fourth quarter data a few months ago, that was the fourth straight year-over-year decline in the health score that began Q1 2022 and persisted throughout 2022. But as we talked about in the last meeting, we started to see the year-over-year decline getting smaller. In other words, we were seeing a positive trend, even though the industry as a whole was sort of showing red negative performance. So in the first quarter, we finally turned to green, if you will. In fact, I think you've got a screenshot for us. We can take a quick look at the colorful one.
Which one do you want, number one or number two?
Number one, I think.
The colorful ones. There we go.
So on the left-hand column there, you'll see that top green. That's the latest first quarter 2023 data. And that health score improved by 0.290%. Nothing major, but again, it did break the streak. So that's one big thing that we'll point out from this particular quarter.
Okay. Talk to us about membership growth. Sounds like there's a surprising streak there that's continuing.
Yeah, there is. In fact, if you want to pull that same chart up, we'll go to the opposite column on the far right. That's our membership growth column. And again, for those of your folks that are watching online, the numbers are small, but really pay attention to the color. On the far right column, the color red is an indication of year-over-year worse performance. So we see lots of green popping up here and there on the right-hand column for membership growth. So we had a couple of blips there, first quarter, second quarter in 2022, where we saw negative, but it's been decidedly positive. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that's really pushed the health score up this past quarter is the fact that membership growth, year over year, that score has improved by 20%. Now, our score range, as I mentioned, is 0 to 10, or 1 to 10, I guess, rather. We have been off our historical benchmark for membership growth for some time in the industry. Mm-hmm. And even still, we're below what we would consider the benchmark score, which is 5. We're scoring 3 now, but that 3 is the highest it's been for quite some time. So, you know, again, we've seen ups and downs, but the decided trend for membership growth is positive. And I have a couple of theories about why that is. One, credit unions are certainly getting better at marketing for membership growth and executing strategies that drive growth. As a matter of fact, one of our industry leaders for this past quarter. Capital Area Federal Credit Union in Augusta, Maine. They're not on this list, but they're on that other one I showed you. That's right. Number two, three, two and a half. Which one is it?
This one?
Yeah, that one. You'll see them. They're fourth on the list. We only have room for three on our website. Yep. But the fourth one there, they had a pretty nice little bump in growth. And Diana Winkley, the CEO there, said that they have added a strategy for engaging in indirect lending. So that has helped drive membership growth and loan growth for them. So you're seeing credit unions engage in those kinds of strategies, or certainly be more aggressive in courting membership growth. The other side of it, which I think is a more negative reason why we're seeing positive membership growth trends, is that so many smaller credit unions are merging out, or credit unions whose performance is struggling because their field of membership is either not dynamic or they haven't figured out how to tap into it.
Right.
So as those credit unions go away, what you're left with are credit unions like Capital Area and also Tower. Number one on our list there, Tower, $4 billion credit union, or more than four, actually. What are they, four and a half? Tower, which you can see there, has a pretty solid membership growth score and a ratio of 12% for Q1, which is pretty large. So you're seeing what's left behind in this particular trend are credit unions who have fairly solid growth fundamentals.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Well, I always love those examples that you share, and it's kind of like their secret sauce on what's working for them. So yeah, it's always good to have that type of stuff. Talk to us about core share relationship scuffling. Is that the
that's the word I used when I was telling you what I was saying? Yeah. So regular shares, you know, credit unions. When I actually first got my checking account, my SureDraft account at Navy Federal Credit Union, when I was 16, that was my first credit union account. SureDrafts were relatively new, and this was 1980. When did I get that? 1983, 84, 85, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay.
Not a lot of credit unions had SureDraft or checking accounts. The regular share account was the core account, and it has remained so, you know, pretty much up until recently, where if you know you could count on money in core shares being fairly stable or sticky or whatever phrase you want to use. We've been seeing that change for a bit. Our scores for regular shares have kind of been in the mid fives, a little over five, but you know they crested to around six, and we saw that grow substantially with the COVID stimulus funds come in. A lot of regular share dumping came into play. But regular shares have been going down, particularly at larger credit unions, as a core composition of the relationship, replaced by the checking account, that share draft account, because there's obvious reasons to have that account front and center. That's a primary usage account for members, and also it's, unlike shares, a way to generate revenue on the relationship.
Gotcha.
So you're seeing strategy pushing more member relationships to a regular, a share draft account as opposed to regular shares. But we're also seeing members all of a sudden, with those rising rates, start to decide that they want to see greater yield. So we're continuing to see money pull out of the regular share accounts. In the best case, going to share certificates in the credit union specifically, but in worst cases, going outside of the credit union to alternative resources. And I think we might have talked about this last quarter, but you know, Treasury Direct is a huge competitor for credit unions pulling share account balances out for people who want higher yield. Yeah. So anyway, it's kind of interesting in an evolution of the credit union relationship model, if you will, to see regular shares declining a little bit in the core component or aspect of the relationship that credit unions and members have with one another.
Yeah, and at the same time, there are some pretty incredible rates at credit unions around the country, as you know, as far as CDs and things like that go. So I've been doing my research and looking around and who has the best and who has the worst, that type of stuff. So there's some encouraging news on that side to keep the money within the credit union if your credit union's got some pretty good interest rates there. So yeah, so take advantage of that for sure. So I've heard a lot of people are doing the same thing. That seems to be quite the trend right now. So
yeah, and you know, if you get the loan growth to sustain that, which again, like this Capital Area Federal Credit Union going into indirect lending, you know, that facilitates growth that you can then push that money back out if you're building new relationships on the certificate side. But yeah, as long as we can keep the money in relationships in the credit union system, that's far better than giving it to the government to manage, right?
Completely. And there's so many other I don't know, opportunities, but other arenas to put your money in as well. So if Credit Union mm-hmm. can really keep that, keep it in-house, so to speak, and provide the best options possible, it's always a positive thing. So any lessons learned from the latest findings, Tom? Because there's always, you know, some trends that you see or something surprising or something to keep your eye on, anything like that in this latest latest round?
Yeah, you know, there's one thing, if you want to go to the Exhibit one, yeah. So last time I talked about delinquencies and charge-offs.
Yeah, that's right.
Accelerating, continuing to be a challenge. So what's interesting is the charge-off, when you can definitely see that, the charge-off column goes from a negative percent change of 1.42% in September of 2022, or the third quarter, rather, then to negative 4, and then in the first quarter to negative 10. And what that means is the scores for charge-offs are going down as a consequence of charge-offs themselves relative to total loans going up. And that's a trend that's continuing. We're seeing that. What's interesting to me, though, is the delinquent loan trend, is you saw it climbing, negative 2.8, negative 3, yeah. negative 4.41, right. and we see it go down a little bit. So I'm kind of curious about that. That's something I'm going to watch and pay attention to, because my assumption was we were going to moderate to the average, which means that our scores will come down to 5, and they're roughly in the 7s now for delinquencies and charge-offs both. So we're still way high above the average. But, man, if delinquencies moderate and stay at 7, then that means that there's an opportunity to continue to take good credit risk or take risk in the credit space to do yeah. to satisfy member loan demand. And we just had an article that that Tyler Glatt, my son, posted. He's doing some writing for us with his economics degree from North Carolina State. And he was covering the fact that there is ample loan demand, in particular in areas like home equity lending. So if you can moderate those delinquencies, or if you see them moderating, then you might as well get in and take some risk and support those needs of members that are out there.
Agreed. Yeah. So would it be safe to say that things are looking a little bit brighter than we were experiencing the last few quarters?
I think so. We're still seeing some asset growth decline. Although in the chart there, you'll see the pace of decline in score go down. So that's the third column from the right, and that's a pretty long stretch of red. Again, everybody knows that red asset growth has been, it's not that we're shrinking in assets, but we're just not growing as highly or as much as we were in the prior years. Yeah. And again, we're comparing periods to COVID and whatnot, so that's a huge difference. So we're starting to see that pace of decline come down, but asset growth, if you need to grow assets or pull those deposits in, I think that's still going to be a challenge. So I think it's good.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a stable base. Again, credit unions have great capital, great member relationships. Members pay us back. In fact, one of our leaders had a negative charge-off, right? That means they have recoveries greater than charge-offs for the quarter. So we have great relations with members. It's great, to good foundation to build upon. But we've got some things that, you know, we want to pay attention to, that delinquency piece, the regular share, or whatever the core relationship is for us. And certainly whether we can sustain asset growth to manage liquidity over the next 2 or 3 quarters.
Well, as that government funding ran out during COVID, didn't we kind of see this coming, the delinquency wave, if you will, come in? So because it never occurred during COVID, when we were all like anticipating this tidal wave of delinquencies and collections and things like that, but it never occurred. So now that all that money is kind of running out or, you know, stopped being funded, so now, and as the economy has not really been in its best mood, if you will, lately. So yeah, so you kind of see that coming. But wow, if we can keep that at somewhat those numbers that you're talking about, we should be in good shape coming in Q3 and Q4.
I would think so. The couple of variables that are in the back of my mind are that student loan issue, where students have to start paying back loans, and for many people, it's a nominal amount. But for a lot of people, it is a notable amount. So if you have to start managing those payments, is that going to accelerate delinquencies and charge-offs? Credit unions in general aren't that exposed directly to student loans, because very few credit unions actually did any direct student loans when you could. But our members certainly are exposed to them because they have those balances.
Right.
So that'll be interesting to see. But yeah, we've been thinking that this is going to occur for quite some time. And what's surprising again is that it's been very moderate in terms of turnarounds for delinquencies, charge-offs. And even though we're seeing that asset growth run off, or asset deposits run off to some extent, it's really still not been at the level that you would think based on how much money came in.
In a
short period of time. It's been a sort of a long runoff, which is easier to manage to a certain extent.
Indeed, indeed. Well, great stuff, Tom. Anything else here to add? I mean, I know we could talk another half hour on this type of stuff, but any other examples or any other details or anything, any other findings you want to share with us before we let you get back to work?
Yeah, we'll take a look at that last sheet there with the industry leaders, the four of them, the three, the one that you pulled from the website, either way.
There we go.
So this one here, I'll end on this, is Aldersgate Credit Union. do you know who they serve?
No.
Interesting. So Aldersgate, let me pull them up again. A-L-D-E-R. They are a credit union that serves diaconate, or rather religious folks.
Okay.
So these are people who probably are sure to pay their debt. So they're a $9.6 million credit union led by Marilyn Sullins. They're out of Marion, Illinois.
Okay.
And they are a religious credit union. So it's interesting on two counts. One, that they're at the top of the list at their size.
Mm-hmm.
But what's more fascinating is the fact that part of what's driving their growth here is pretty large changes in membership growth, 3%, which is unusual for a religious-based credit union. Sometimes growth is a challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Loan growth was 25%. These are their core ratios, by the way. Their return on assets for the quarter was 2.36%, which is pretty phenomenal. So
yeah.
Maybe we should all be lending to the clergy. That might be the best strategy, because apparently we make some money off those folks.
But if there's any lesson to be learned today, go make a loan to the clergy. Exactly. Oh my gosh. Good one, Tom. I like that. All right.
It's always good to see little, you know, small credit unions, little, however you want to refer to them, do well by doing what they do best. And they're
exactly. And that's a good sign for our industry when those folks are doing well as well. So yeah, good stuff. Hey, last question for you. So where can folks go find out the latest health score? Go to your website?
Yeah, at GladConsulting.com.
Okay.
We have probably, I would say, 380 or 400 credit unions somewhere in that neighborhood that subscribe today. But if your credit union is not one of them, that's a free subscription. You can just go to the health score section of our website and sign up, and you'll get the quarterly report with the screenshots plus additional detail that they saw on your program today.
Indeed. The more credit unions that sign up and participate in this, the more accurate the numbers are, the more robust the numbers are, and all that. It's just good all the way around, the more folks that participate, right?
Well, and there's an interesting cross dialogue, and I know we're running out of time, but Capital Area, the CEO there said someone saw the report and contacted them to ask what they were doing to drive their membership growth scores up, and what they did to change their dynamics. So it's interesting. People are using the report to reach out and learn from others directly, which I think is great.
Part of the reason why it's there, Tom. Part of the reason why it's there, for sure. Already, so
in that cooperative spirit, right?
Exactly. It's what it's all about. So good stuff. All right, man. Well, I'm going to let you get going. Thanks again for these numbers. Look forward to chatting again next quarter. And I have to apologize to everybody out there. I apologize for the connection. It was a little wonky, but we're going to work on that to get it all straightened out for the next one. And but we appreciate you guys watching. And if you guys missed any of this discussion or want to see a part of it, we're going to post a recording a little bit later today for you guys to check out as well. But Tom, thanks again as always. Appreciate the time, and keep up the good work there at Glatt Consulting. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.